Greetings. When we read something in the Bible, we have to make sure we understand that everything that is said is not necessarily written as a command of God for us to do. Take an obvious example. When we read about Cain killing Abel, that is not a command for us to go kill. We have to read things in context. So let's look at some of the things that are a little more in-depth than the simple idea of it's not a good idea to kill your neighbor because Cain killed Abel. Let's start by looking at 2 Samuel chapter 7. Starting in verse 1. Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord gave him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See, now I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." This is King David at the time. And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." So we read that line, "Go do this all in your heart," because he's looking at this, the ark of God dwells in a tent. And it was a kind of, "Go for it, David." Next verse, verse 4. But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in?" And it goes on from there, basically, "Have I asked for one?" You know, there is no command in Scripture to go build a temple. And he goes on in this passage to say, you know, "Have I asked?" But the thing that we think we have to take out from this is Nathan first says, "Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." Well, indeed, the Lord may have been with David, but the idea of Nathan speaking as a command of God at that point clearly was not true. Nathan was speaking simply as a man to encourage someone, but it wasn't a command of God. Even though Nathan was a prophet, and you can see the difference because the next verse 5, "Thus says the Lord." So we have to see that that difference in there. If we go a few verses later, verse 12, "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom." Now, it's interesting, when we read that line, "I will raise up your offspring after you." So, is this the offspring that David had during his life, specifically Solomon, or his offspring afterwards? In other words, somebody who wasn't born yet. It's worth considering. Next verse. "He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Okay, Solomon did build the temple. Do you find a command for from the Lord for Solomon to build a temple? I don't think you'll find that. But he did it. But so is verse 13, since this is the Lord's statement, is it talking about the temple that Solomon built? Or is the house that he's talking about, the house, the temple, Jesus? You know, because you will remember Jesus said, "Tear down this temple and I'll build it up in 3 days." He was talking about himself. Is that what we see here? Verse 14, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Okay, as in the Son of God or Solomon? "When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men." Christ was disciplined by the stripes of men. But when he commits iniquity, he didn't commit iniquity, but he took on ours. Perhaps indeed, this fits with Christ, not Solomon. Verse 15, "But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, who I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." obviously the reign of David and his descendants in an earthly sense ended. The reign of Christ never ends. I mean, it's established. It's in effect this day. Verse 70, in accordance to all these words, and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. So there's a difference between what Nathan spoke, go for it, Solomon, or David, build the temple, versus thus says the Lord. I think if you look at that and study that, I think you'll see, indeed, there's a difference. Let's look at another one with a different perspective. And you are in the U.S. and look at U.S. history and say, rah, rah, we're based on Christian principles, I'm going to disturb you. Exodus 18, which again is something used people will say, well, this is how the United States is guided by. I'm going to show you where not a good idea. Exodus 18, let's start at verse 13. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw that he was doing for the people, he said, what is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand around you from morning to evening? This is Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make it known the statutes of God and his laws. Moses' father-in-law said to him, what you are doing is not good. Remember, it's Moses' father-in-law. It's Jethro saying what you're doing is not good. There is no statement in there, the Lord says this is not good. It's Jethro saying it's not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. Jethro's voice. Jethro is making no claim to speak as a prophet of God. Jethro was simply saying, obey my voice. This is the wisdom of man. Jethro goes on, I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make known to them the way which they must walk and what they must do. Note, it says God be with you. It is a request on Jethro's part that God be with them. It is not Jethro saying God will be with you. There's a vast difference there. It goes on, verse 21. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe. Place such men over the people, such as chiefs of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. These are archons, from kiloarchons to down to the decaarchons. This, you know, which is an important concept. Chief of thousands, or you will read some translations, commanders of thousands, hundreds, and so forth. Verse 22, and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter that they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you, and you'll be able to endure. And all this people will go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Remember clearly, it says Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law. There is no statement in there. Moses was listening to a command of God. It's an important thing. And this is echoed in Deuteronomy 1. If you look at, for example, starting in verse 6, the Lord our God said to us in Horeb, you have stayed long enough in this mountain, and it goes on and so forth. So, but the point is, the Lord our God said. If you go down to verse 9, at that time I said to you, I'm not able to bear you by myself. The Lord has multiplied you, and so forth. And if you go down to verse 15, you will see, so I took the heads of your tribes, wise and experienced men, set them as heads over you, commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, commanders of fifties, commanders of tens. Next verse, I charge your judges at the time, and so forth. What he's doing is, in the beginning of the chapter, he talked about what the Lord said. Then he said, this is what I said to you. So there's a clear difference between the command of God, where you have a thus says the Lord, versus the wisdom of man. Moses was not God. He was a prophet of God. He said a lot of things on behalf of God. But just because he was a prophet of God, everything he said, everything he wrote, was not a command of God. Again, he's the one that wrote Genesis and the story about Cain killing Abel. Just because he wrote that wasn't a, hey, this is a good thing. He was simply writing history. And I would suggest this is what's happening here. Deuteronomy 1:18, and I commanded you at that time. It's Moses, not a command of God. The idea of the commanders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens is echoed several times. For example, a vital chapter, 1 Samuel 8, this is where the Lord says, they have rejected me as being king over them. Chapter. Verse 12. And he will appoint for himself, talking about the kings or the rulers that people set over them. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands, commanders of fifties, some to plow his ground, some to reap his harvest, to make his implements of war, and to equip his chariots, and so forth. So that concept, the concept from Jethro, not from God. God is showing in 1 Samuel 8 the results of rejecting him as king. Same methodology from the advice of Jethro. You can see this again, 1 Samuel 22. Saul was king. Saul was king and wanted to keep his grip on power. So 1 Samuel 22, verse 7, and Saul said to his servants who stood about him, hear now, people of Benjamin, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards? Will you make you all commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? And it goes on from there. What he's doing is he's using that same concept that Jethro gave, the layered management that the Lord shows in 1 Samuel 8. It's not a good idea. And you can see Saul, who's, you know, son of Jesse, we're talking about King David, the future King David at that time. He was trying to rely on this tiered principle. I would suggest that tiered principle, the idea of one person has a group below him, who in turn has a group below him, or go up the ladder, whichever direction you go. This layered management idea. It's commonplace in the political world, in the corporate world. You see it in the way the military works. You will not see that as a command of God. It's in the Bible, just as murder, theft, adultery, and so forth. All those things are discussed in the Bible, but they're not a command of God to do those things. That, I think, is an important thing to understand. There's a difference between what you read in the Bible as history, what you read as the wisdom of man, and the command of God. They're two different things. So this is just two examples from the Old Testament. Then we got to look at the New Testament.